Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. Is it not obvious that God's people were once with God, but had left God, and needed to know the way back to God? The background of this passage is the building and consecration of the great temple that Solomon had built. It was called the House of God. Everything was ready for worship, except the people. And the reason they were not ready is because they were not near to God as they ought to have been. It is rather surprising that they were estranged from God, inasmuch as this was what might be called the golden age of the Israelite monarchy. David had left a strong and unified nation. Solomon had added wealth and wisdom and power among the nations with great prosperity. The borders of the kingdom covered great territory. They had every reason to be grateful to God. They should have been giving God the glory for their welfare, but instead they were not near to God. They needed to come back to Him. God gives them the plan by which they could be restored to Him. It seems that Israel made the same mistake that nations and individuals often make, and that is confusing material well-being with spiritual acceptance and approval. Oh, they were religious, but they were not righteous. They were wealthy, but they were also wicked. We sometimes feel secure when actually we're not that secure. We may be speeding along on the highways unaware of some defect in the steering mechanism or some problem with the tire. We may think that we're healthy and actually some disease is already sapping away our life strength. The rich man in Luke chapter 12, he considered all was well because of his material gain. And he said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." God called him a fool, because he relied on his material prosperity rather than really caring for his soul. Well, we are no different. We can be lulled into complacency and false security and self-satisfaction and indifference. This is one of the ways the devil gets us to let down our guard, if you please. Paul said, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. And friend, this should ever be heeded. Surely one of the most deceiving conditions in our nation is that all is well simply because the nation is enjoying material abundance. We need to be more concerned about the spiritual and moral conditions. Otherwise, we will bring on our own ruin. We need to profit from what history teaches. Nations have risen only to fall because they neglected the things that really matter. Individuals have been overtaken and crushed because they lost concern for the soul. Does it not concern you that there is so much gambling in our nation, that immorality is running rampant, that moral standards have dipped year by year, that divorce is tearing up the home, that children are neglected, abused, untrained, that atheism is the fastest growing religious faith, that modernism and liberalism and skepticism is taking the day and even invading the ranks of the religious? Many in the church go about their lives as if this made no real difference to them. Have they no concern for themselves and their children and their children's children? Do we no longer believe of the unrepealable law of sowing and reaping? Every person, every nation, needs to know the way back to God. We sin, and this separates us from God. And apart from God, there is no hope of salvation. And we must find our way back. But God has provided the way back, and that way is Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, and that which He has accomplished on our behalf, we can come back to God. We can be forgiven. We can be healed of the spiritual malady that threatens to engulf us. The first thing prescribed by God for those wanting to come back to Him was for them to humble themselves. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Who would doubt that our land overflows with pride? And James tells us that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Christ, who is the way back to God, humbled himself, Philippians 2 and verse 8, shall we do less? We're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, Romans 12 and verse 3. Jesus said, For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Isaiah wrote, The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. This effort of trying to save face is more important to many people than saving the soul. One who does not give in and submit himself to the Lord can never find the way back to God. He will forever remain separated. No task should be undertaken without prayer. Prayer is an action of worship of God that manifests an attitude of dependence on God, as well as the recognition of God. If we cannot pray over it, we ought not do it. Paul told Christian people to pray without ceasing. That's an expression of constant attitude of prayer. Prayer is the realization that there is one higher than greater than self. We cannot return to God until we accept His greatness, His omnipotence, His omnipresence, His omniscience, His majesty. I have in my study a painting made for me several years ago by a good sister in the church that shows a picture of Uncle Sam. And Uncle Sam is on his knees in prayer. She painted that at my request because I believe this is an essential position for the welfare of America. Unwillingness to recognize God will spell our national doom. And so will it weave with each person who fails to recognize God. There are some things that cannot be accomplished, however, by prayer. When God has given commands to be obeyed, if we do not obey, we even deprive ourselves of the privilege of prayer. Prayer is no substitute for obedience. Neither can we dispense with prayer and be blessed with the healing that we need when we do not obey the commands of God. You see, there's a great difference between people who seek the Lord and those who do not. A promise of Jesus was, Seek and ye shall find. Earnestly wanting to know the way of the Lord, yearning to serve Him and to please Him, will cause a person to search the Scriptures to learn what he must do to serve God. One will not be content until he knows the way, until he can read of his salvation from the Word of God, knowing that he has done that which the Lord has commanded of him. Jesus said, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God spoke to Jeremiah and told him to instruct Israel, Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. The captivity of Israel and Judah, it could have been prevented if the people had sought the Lord. The welfare of the nation for the benefit of our descendants depends largely upon us, whether we seek God or continue to go our own way to our ruin and to the destruction of the hope of those that follow after us. Many will be lost in the day of judgment, not because they could not be saved, but because they would not be saved. They pursue their own ways in this life to the neglect of that which is to come. Will such be said of me? Will it be true of you? While many seek fame and fortune, pleasure and power in this life, if we are to be saved, if we are to come back to God, our only hope is we must seek His face. Turning from wickedness means repentance, friend. It means leaving that which is wrong and coming to the light of truth. Oh, it's so hard to persuade people to repent. Well, they may be sorry about mistakes made, but too often it's not a godly sorrow, but a worldly sorrow that does not lead to repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. Jesus preached repentance. The prophets of old preached repentance. The apostles preached repentance. and we must preach repentance. Without repentance we shall perish, Luke 13 and verse 3. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30. To come to God, we must turn around. We must leave the paths of sin and follow the ways of truth. When one has truly repented of his sins and changed his heart, as he should, he will find no difficulty, nor any hesitation on his part, to render obedience to whatever God has commanded. We do not turn from evil into a state of neutrality, however. We show that we are leaving the ways of sin by obeying the commandments of the gospel, and then living in such a manner that produces the fruit of the Spirit. My beloved listener, God is true to His word. He keeps His promises just as He keeps His threats. If we will humble ourselves and give God the recognition due Him, seek His face, turn from evil, all of which requires submission and obedience to His will and commands, then God will hear us, and God will forgive us, and God will grant us the spiritual healing without which we cannot survive. The nation as a whole, and each person individually, must make a decision about God, about Christ, about our relationship with deity. Under the new covenant of Christ, we are taught that those who have never come to Christ must hear the word, believe in Christ, repent of their sins, and confess their faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. Those who have once come to Him but fallen away must be restored. God's plan of restoration is repentance, confession of sins, and prayer. My dear listener, if you fall into either category, what decision will you make? Well, whichever one it is one with which you must exist for eternity. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.